What's up? What's going on? Episode 36 of Piff on the Blitz. Upside down world. Upside down week. Don't know what side I'm on. But I'm here. Lots of records being broken. 162 passing touchdowns through the first 3 weeks in a season. That's the most ever. Michael Thomas has 38 catches in the first 3 weeks. Most ever. Patrick Mahomes, 13 touchdowns, zero picks. The most through 3 weeks. And Ryan Fitzpatrick has at least 400 yards through his first three games, and that's never been done by an NFL quarterback. I turned on the game last night. He was throwing a touchdown pass to Mike Evans to bring the game within three, and they pan the camera over to him, and his eyes are bulging out of his fucking sockets, dude. Is he wearing the mask? Where's Cameron Diaz? I thought they put that in the ocean, and it wasn't to be discovered ever again. And then wasn't there like two or three mask movies with like, wasn't a kid wearing a mask at some point? No. Khalil Mack, Josh Allen, Ryan Fitzpatrick, test them. Todd Gurley, test them. Patrick Mahomes, test them. If my team's losing, I want everybody else tested. Records are being snapped, dude, left and right. And, the only accountable thing to do is have people pull their pants down and pee. Because I'm tired of it. It's exciting, but how much of it is real? I don't believe in magic. He's got the mask on. And I'll tell you, when the Bucks and the Bears play, and the mask gets a whiff of Khalil Mack, oh, it's over with, dude. The mask is coming off, and Khalil Mack's going to be wearing it. He's going to be wearing Ryan Fitzpatrick's face at the end of the game. No chance, dude. Not sustainable. And Cameron Diaz will be there. And Khalil Mack's gonna smash. How about the Chiefs and the Rams, though? Powerhouse teams. Creative play calling. Beautiful blocking schemes. Andy Reid is the master of the screen game. He's making Patrick Mahomes look like a legend. The Rams offense, ridiculous blocking, everybody's involved, creative play calling. These two teams are going to face off November 19th, and I can't wait, because it could be the Super Bowl preview. I was excited about the Rams and the Vikings this week, now not so much. Since Josh Allen hurtled over Anthony Barr, teabagged him, pull your dick out. Don't believe it. Now the Vikings have offensive line problems and Everson Griffin's lost his mind. Okay, here's the chance the Vikings have. You're going to have to get rid of the ball really quick. But it does look like Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib are banged up. So you can take some shots, Kirk. You can get back into it. If you ever need to win a game this year, it's on a short week against the Rams. That will do so much for the organization. And the NFC North is vulnerable right now. The Bears are, the Bears are the Bears. They're doing a lot better, but they're vulnerable. The Lions, they beat the Patriots, but they're also vulnerable. And Aaron Rodgers is like hobbling around right now. You guys have got to take control. Unfortunately, you get smacked up by the Bills. It's embarrassing. And now you got to go into a short week against the Rams. Don't think they're going to pull it off, but if there's ever a chance, it's throwing the ball down the field and attacking those backup corners that they're going to have in there. And certainly, Latavius Murray isn't anywhere to be found. You might get Cook back, but I wouldn't really try to run between the tackles. Not with Sue and Donald there, just throw the ball. Should be a good game, though, hopefully. We'll just have to see, but it's on a short week. But the Rams and the Chiefs, man, it's impressive how fast, how good their blocking is. And the Chiefs are scoring 35 points every week so far through the season. And when teams do that, they win Super Bowls. The Patriots in 07, well, they didn't win the Super Bowl. But the Rams in the early 2000s, the Titans, the teams, when teams put up 35 points every week, they go to Super Bowls. And so right now the Rams are on point, the Chiefs are on point, and yeah, November 19th. So surprise teams, the Dolphins, the Bucks, the Bears, which one lasts? Well, the Bucks really put up a good fight against the Steelers last night. I don't think the Fitzpatrick thing, I don't like the running game. I like what the Bears are doing with their run game, and their defense is really taking, you know, control and helping this team really get to the next level. And then the Dolphins are playing really fast, and they're in a vulnerable division, but have they really played anybody good yet? They'll play the Patriots this week, but the Patriots are still going to be, you know, they don't have Josh Gordon at full speed yet. They don't have, their defense has a bunch of issues. Like Trey Flowers was out last week. That caused problems. They couldn't get after Stafford. You know, upside down week. Vikings get smashed on, Patriots lose, and the Patriots lose by double digits back-to-back weeks. They get beat up by the Jaguars, and they get beat up by the Lions. And that hasn't happened in nearly 16 years. It's been like 16 years since the Patriots had lost back-to-back games by double digits. And Tom Brady threw 114 yards. Last time he threw that low, it was like 2006, 2007. Long time ago. And I think the Dolphins held him under 100 yards twice in his career. They play the Dolphins this week, and it's a possibility that he throws under 150. You know, looking for that bounce back game. Like the Patriots got beat up by the Jaguars, you thought for sure, oh, the Patriots always bounce back. They never lose two games in a row like ugly. They never really lose two games in a row like this. And they did. And it's not a good team. It's not as good as last year's team. And coaching can only overcome so much. And, you know, the Patriots organization can say whatever they want about, we manufactured this drama. You know, our relationship is really good. My relationship with Tom Brady is really good. Oh, my trainer, Alex, whatever his face is. Oh, everything's really good. It doesn't look like it. It looks like things are falling apart, tearing at the seams. And they tried to trade Gronk and to Detroit before the season started. They should have. And if they didn't, he wasn't going to go. Well, there's a reason. He's not as effective as he was in the past. And you say, well, it's because they don't have, you know, threats on the outside and this and that. And he's too banged up, dude. He's too old. There was a reason they were trying to trade him. And just for the sake of keeping him together with Tom Brady, they kept him in this whatever. Now, you know, they double covered him. And now what did Tom Brady do? 114 yards. I don't like what the Patriots are doing here, man. Will they fix it? Yeah, probably they'll fix it up. They'll be a playoff team. But there's no chance right now. The state that they're in, that they get to the Super Bowl. And they weren't my Super Bowl pick this year. I had the Jaguars. So we'll see what happens against the Dolphins this week. But a bunch of records were broken, man. Michael Thomas, 38 catches in the first 3 weeks. Most ever. Patrick Mahomes with the touchdowns, interception ratio. He hasn't thrown a pick yet. Which I think a lot of people were worried about with him. They said, well, he's a new quarterback. He's going to make bad decisions. He hasn't yet. Andy Reid has made it to where it's easy for him. He's got quick, short options, not a lot of risk. I mean, for God's sakes, they've got Sammy Watkins on reverse calls. They've got Kareem Hunt going down the seam. The bootlegs that just, when he spins out for a bootleg, he's got like three options right available. They're even dropping it off to Sherman. He's got Hunt, Sherman, Watkins, tons of weapons. It's made it easy. Andy Reid is a quarterback guru, and he's a master of the screen game. And, you know, I don't know when it's going to stop. Who do the Chiefs play this week? The Broncos. Well, if anybody's got a defense, it's the Broncos. You know, their offense is... That might actually be a good game. A Monday night game, too? Okay. We'll see. I'm going to go with the Chiefs, but if anybody's going to get after... See, what the Chiefs like to do is they just move people around. Just misdirections. You know, they're really going to take advantage of the aggression the Broncos are going to show. They're going to bring Chubb and Von Miller really aggressively. But the problem, you know, the Chiefs are going to want to put Von Miller and Bradley Chubb on their heels, man. Make them think twice about being so aggressive. But, I mean, if there's ever a defense with talent on it, it's the Broncos. But I just, you know, I don't think anybody can stop them right now. It's going to take a few weeks for teams to take a look at the film, see what Andy Reid's developing, see how he's doing it, and, you know, and think that, like, well, Patrick Mahomes isn't that savvy. He's not, you know, he's not a veteran yet. This is technically his first year. You know, there's going to be a way to stop him. But it may take a couple more weeks. So anyways, but yeah, records, dude. Calvin Ridley had 3 touchdowns in one game, and that's the first time a rookie's done that since Odell Beckham Jr. in 2013. Breeze surpassed Favre for the most completions ever. And Kerryon Johnson for the Lions finally became their, you know, 100-yard, their first 100-yard rusher since 2013 when Reggie Bush did it. So all kinds of records this week, and it's a crazy season so far. 3 quarterbacks had multiple rushing touchdowns in the same week. That's the first time it's happened since 1970. The Browns won their first game in 635 days, and Albert Wilson became only the 3rd player in NFL history to throw and catch a 50-yard touchdown. So wild-ass season. Crazy. But people need to be tested. Dude, the Cowboys are so bad. It's embarrassing what Dak Prescott and this Cowboys offense is. And it's even more embarrassing when Jerry Jones, after the game, comes out and says crowd noise was an issue. Or that the defensive play calling was an issue. He kind of implied that the defense was the problem. Dude, Dak Prescott, in his last 13 games, isn't even outplaying Brock Osweiler. No, I'm serious. In his last 13 games, Prescott has 10 touchdowns and 11 interceptions and 2,300 passing yards. Brock Osweiler has 2,300 passing yards and 11 touchdowns. He's Brock Osweiler, dude. And for you to go out into a press conference and imply that the crowd noise was the issue? The offensive line is bad. The play calling is terrible. There's no creativity. It's just, Prescott's not a good quarterback in this system. Now, I'll stand by my boy. I'll say, you know, he has the capability of being a good quarterback, a quarterback to lead a team into the playoffs, not a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But he's definitely not going to get into the playoffs in this system where Scott Linehan's doing this Kaepernick thing where he's trying to turn him into a pocket passer. He's not that. He's not that at all. They face the Lions this week. They'll probably take an L. I picked them this last week against the Seahawks. I thought for sure that defensive line for Dallas was going to get after Seattle. They seem to, just conveniently fix some of their offensive line issues just in time for the Cowboys to lose. Fire Jason Garrett. Fire Scott Linehan. Put somebody else in charge. For God's sakes. Anyways, what else is there to talk about? Yeah, dude, Todd Gurley, 8.6 yards per attempt on runs off the right tackle through 3 weeks. Hey, stop it. Why don't you just stop it? Some interesting conspiracy theories were floating around this week. The most interesting one is that Tyrod Taylor was faking injuries so that they could put Mayfield in. They said, yeah, you could see Mayfield putting his helmet on in the second quarter, and Taylor was just falling down for no reason. He was just acting hurt, you know, early on. It didn't make any sense in that, what, you think the NFL's writing scripts now, WWE style? You think they, oh, yeah, we're going to write a script up for the Browns? Get out of here. It was clear to see that Taylor did what he usually does sometimes in his career, where he gets into a game where the coverage is a little bit too much. They're bringing blitz packages, and he holds on to it. He just holds on to it. Now, I'm going to stand firm here and say, you know, I still don't think Taylor was the reason they didn't have a win yet. I think it was the kicking and it was Hugh Jackson. But of course, I seem like an idiot because Baker Mayfield came in. And I said last week, I said there was a Sports Illustrated article that said Baker Mayfield needs to start. And that's the reason the Browns aren't winning. And I said, no. Mayfield's not the reason they're not winning. It's the coaching and obviously the kicking. Taylor did enough to win them 2 games. The rest of the team didn't. And then last week, seemed like an idiot because Mayfield came in there and he won the game for the Browns. He overcame the coaching. He overcame whatever issues that they were having. And he was just, look, it's not a conspiracy. Taylor was holding on to the ball and he didn't trust his wide receivers. He wasn't making those throws. The difference, Mayfield made the throws. He trusted the wide receivers and he fit the ball into windows that were closed. Dude, these windows were tight and he was fitting. And yeah, you got to start Mayfield going forward because he played better than Taylor. And you ride that. Much like what I think the Bucs should do with Fitzpatrick until he gets popped for a test. You ride it. You take the hot hand, you go with it. We've seen it over and over again. When Dak Prescott took over for Romo, you just ride that hot hand. And it can take you far. But Mayfield wasn't afraid to just get rid of the ball. Just throw it. Fuck the windows. Who cares if they look close? He fit it into spots, and I love it. Because he'll throw it to everybody. Taylor was picking and choosing. And that's the difference. There's no conspiracy. You know, the last thing the Browns need is the conspiracy. They win their first game in 630 days. Let's pump the brakes on the conspiracy theories. The other theory that was floating around was that Jerry Jones sold the game against the Seahawks to Seattle for Earl Thomas. This game was all about Earl Thomas. His last game in Seattle uniform, Earl Thomas will be a Cowboy safety, and the deal was that they were through. Come on. Hey, what team is Earl Thomas on right now? It's Wednesday, by the way. No, Tuesday. He's still with the Seahawks. He's not with the Cowboys. Take your conspiracy theory and go somewhere with it. He threw the game to get Earl Thomas. What is the IQ level here? Crazy. It's almost as crazy as that Post Malone conspiracy theory that I pulled up on YouTube. Yeah, dude, this is some wild-ass shit. There's a lot of wild-ass shit. Where is it? Let me play this. No, I don't want an ad. Let's take a break for a second. Let me play this just for fun. Who gives a shit?
What's happening? It's your boy, White Mike. Gulf Coast Epidemic 86 is the movement. So, Post Malone, it looks to me like he's on his way out. I think about a week and a half ago, his airplane almost crashed. Like, they had a crash land or something like that, where there was literally technical difficulties with the technology on the plane for whatever reason. A week after that, he survived the airplane crash. A week after that, he's chilling in one of his exotic cars. A car comes out of nowhere, flies into the side of it, and tries to hit the passenger side. All right? Well, yesterday, that's the second thing that happened. Just yesterday, some armed guys tried to home invade Post Malone's crib in Cali. So what this goes to show me, he's got somebody mad. When they take these industry cats out, all right, they do it two ways. People like Tupac, R.I.P. Pac, you know, when they kill somebody that leaves as like a legend in the streets, that's what they're doing. They're killing them like they did XXX, Triple X. They're killing them at a point in their career where after they kill them, they're just going to make them into a legend. And then they'll be making all that money off of their album when they're dead. They'll still be making all these money like they still do off of Tupac and Biggie and Pimp.
And that's what you sound like, dude. These conspiracy theories, that's what you sound like. As soon as he said monies, the technical difficult, I don't even know how he said it. I lost it. But that's what you sound like when you're talking about Baker Mayfield conspiracy theories, Dallas Cowboys conspiracy theories. You sound like that. Enough. I thought that was a funny-ass video. I just wanted to play it. You know? All right. Nice little break. Nice little palate cleanser there. Week 4 game picks. Let's do that. Let's do the game picks. I got some stuff to do today, man. My game picks are bad. 6-10 last week, 22-25-2 overall. That's rough, dude. That's rough. I guess before we get into the game picks and the fantasy plays for week 4, I'll run down the injury list because there's a bunch of injuries you should know about, and you know, you'll want to know for waivers and whatnot. Jimmy G's out for the year. Of course we know that. And he tore some shit up. And they're going to go after, like, Tom Savage? Dude, come on. People are like, why didn't Colin Kaepernick? Go for Colin Kaepernick. Well, he's got a case out against the league. So how are you going to have a case? How are you going to try to sue the NFL and then play in it at the same time? Come on. Atlanta's lost both their safeties, Allen and Neal, now. Sean Lee's out for a few weeks with his other hamstring. William Hayes is out for the year in Miami, which is ridiculous because he was trying to avoid sacking the quarterback the wrong way, and he tore his shit up. And so this is a bad look for the NFL. He's going to be out for the year. That hurts Miami's defense, of course, because he was on the opposite side of Cameron Wake, and they were, you know, finding a lot of success. And now with Hayes out, we're just going to have to see what they can do. Evan Ingram's going to be out a couple weeks with some issues. Knee, I think, and maybe like an MCL sprain. AJ Green's questionable for week 4 with a groin injury. He says he's good to go. Coach says, I don't know. Richard Sherman's going to be out a couple weeks with calf problems. And Muhammad Wilkerson for the Green Bay Packers is out for the year. That's tough for the Packers defense, who they really haven't come. They haven't really shown up, have they? I thought, yeah, this could be a top 10 defense. Well, these corners, welcome to the NFL. All their first round picks are really struggling back there. So those are some of the major injuries that happened over the last week. End of the week 4 picks. We got the Vikings and Rams on Thursday night. I'm going with the Rams. Come on. The Vikings look like they have offensive line issues. The Rams play calling is out of this world. They can throw it all over the place. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks is just a lightning bolt. Yeah, I don't see the Vikings being able to win this one. I'll go with the Rams. Jaguars, Jets, I'm going to go with the Jaguars. Fournette needs to get healthy. And, you know, you don't want to put Bortles into situations where he's having to throw the ball all over the place, especially against the Jets, who do have a good back end. But I'm going to pick the Jaguars here, and they would move to 3-1. Dolphins, Patriots, here's my upset pick, which I don't know if it's that big of an upset pick, but I'm going to pick the Dolphins over the Patriots, which is, I'm probably going to be wrong now. I'm probably jumping on too late. But I'll go with the Dolphins over the Patriots. And I think, you know, if Tom Brady threw, you know, 2 times he played the Dolphins in the past, he's thrown under 100 yards. He could very easily throw under 150 this week if the Dolphins, you know, show up. Eagles, Titans, I'm going to go with the Eagles here. Carson Wentz is just going to get better as the season goes on. He just needs to get back into game shape. And he looked pretty good last week against the Colts. Wendell Smallwood showed up for the Eagles. Chris Clement gets a little bit healthier. They need Jay Ajayi back. But this Eagles defense is still intact, and I think they do enough to shut down the Titans, and they win this one. They could go to 3-1. Texans and Colts, I'm going to give the Texans their first win of the season. Even though the Colts have looked really well, overall, their defense is playing way better than it was last year. But I'm going to give it to the Texans in a close one. It's a divisional matchup. The Texans have got to know a lot about what's going on with the Colts. Watch a little bit more tape because it's a division game. And I'm going to give them the win. I'm going to give them the edge there. It's kind of an upset pick. Bills and Packers. I can't pick the Bills over the Packers here. I'm going to go with the Packers. Just logically, it makes more sense. I know Rodgers is hobbled and the Bills have this fire, but they're going into Lambeau. And, the Packers do have a committee of Aaron Jones and Williams and Montgomery. Use them. And I think this week they discover that. Doing something the Vikings didn't do last week, which is successfully running the ball, will put the Bills to a halt. So I'm going to go with the Packers there. Cowboys-Lions, I'm going to go with the Lions just because Cowboys' offense is atrocious. They haven't shown anything other than like one bomb play to Tavon Austin. Zeke's fumbling the ball now. Their offensive line can't protect him. They're trying to make Prescott a pocket passer. It's not going to work. The Lions are going to go into Dallas and fuck on them. I'll go with the Lions in this one. Bucks and Bears, I'm going to go with the Bears here. I think this magic, this Fitzmagic, this shit is going to end. The mask is coming off. It's going on to Khalil Mack's face, and he's going to smash. And I got the Bears, and they're going to go 3-1. And this is a very vulnerable division right now. The Lions are up and down. The Vikings have offensive line problems. Rodgers is hobbled. Okay? The Bears have a chance to really take the lead here in this division, and I think they do it this week and beat the Bucks. Falcons, Bengals. I'm going to go with the Falcons here. You know, Andy Dalton could have a big day, you know, especially if AJ Green is healthy. But the fact that he's questionable and Atlanta just has some firepower now, they're finding Ridley in the end zone. It seems like their red zone issues have kind of healed up a little bit. They're able to score. They scored 37 points against the Saints. Not that the Saints are like a spectacular defense, but at home, Atlanta has enough to do it. I'm going to pick them, and they would be 2-2. The Bengals would go 2-2 as well if they lost. Seahawks, Cardinals, are they starting Josh Rosen this week? If they are, it'll be a close game. I'm still going to go with the Seahawks, regardless of who's playing quarterback in Arizona. Just hand the ball off to David Johnson and figure it out. Because it was working the last time that, you know, you get him going and you can win games. They got him involved a little bit last week, and they were ahead on the Bears, and they just couldn't sustain it. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks here on the road, and they would go 2-2. And now that the Niners are kind of out of the picture, the Seahawks have a better chance of getting into the playoffs, sneaking into a wild card spot, especially when you look at the NFC North, how the Cowboys are, how inconsistent the Giants are. It's a real possibility for Seattle to sneak in now. At least it's kind of early to look at it like that, but at least where we're at right now. Browns and Raiders, I'm going to go with the Browns and Baker Mayfield, and I'm going to ride that hot hand, and they would be 2-1-1, and the Raiders would start off 0-4. Teams that start off 0-4 will do not usually make the playoffs, definitely don't win the Super Bowl. John Gruden has his hands full, and it won't be very long now until the locker room gets split up. There's issues, the organization, it's going to be a bad ending if Gruden just decides to pack it up and leave at some point. The Raiders have a lot of issues. You're trying to make a move here to Las Vegas, and like I said, you aren't in Vegas yet. You tried to gamble before you were even in Vegas, and that's illegal. Browns get the win here over the Raiders, even in wherever the fuck the Raiders play. The Saints and Giants, I'm going to go with the Saints here. I think they're just better. They know more about what they're trying to do as a team. Their identity is a little bit more defined. The Giants are going to have their hands full with Alvin Kamara. I'm going to call him Kamara. I really think he should wear some fuzzy dice around his neck. They just have a better identity. The Giants' defense is suspect. You know, they were moving the ball last week. They're getting Beckham involved. And the Saints do have to go on the road here, and it might be a little wet. It might be a little wet in New York. It's like wet season up there. But I'm going to go with the Saints, and they would go to 3-1. The Giants would go 1-3. Niners, Chargers. I got the Chargers easily. And also, you should play their defense on DraftKings or FanDuel, whatever you're doing, because they're be facing a quarterback that's absolutely not ready. So the Chargers over the Niners there. Ravens, Steelers on Sunday night. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I just think their wideouts are a little bit too much for Steelers defense. They had a couple picks last night against Fitzpatrick, but then it fell apart. They can't stop. You know, here's something that the Bucs weren't doing last night, running the ball really successfully. It's something that Alex Collins and the Ravens can do. And when they start doing that, and then they fuck on you with like John Brown and Michael Crabtree and all that, it's going to be too much for the Steelers defense. And these are one of those games where Ben just gets confused. The defense of the Ravens is still good. And I like the Ravens here over the Steelers. I think the Steelers go 1-2-1. Chiefs and Broncos on Monday night to wrap it up. I got to go with the Chiefs, man, 4-0. And I do think Mahomes throws his first pick, though. I'll make that prediction. So hopefully my game pricks, improve. 22-25-2 is not acceptable. And it's definitely way lower than it was at this point last year. And it's not good. It doesn't make me happy. What do I got for fantasy plays this week? At quarterback, I'm going to go Rivers. I like the matchup he's got with the Niners. I am worried that if they get ahead, they're going to run the ball. But, there's not too much on that defensive side of the ball to really stop Rivers, and he's been pretty consistent. You could pair him up with Keenan Allen, but I think Keenan Allen's a little expensive. I like to pair him up here with Mike Williams at wide receiver. I like Eckler at running back because I think if they do get ahead, they're just going to run the ball, but they don't want to use Melvin Gordon. They want to kind of keep him good. So I like Eckler in this situation, Rivers, Eckler, Mike Williams, guys like that. I love Alvin Kamara here. I think the Saints are going to really utilize him against the Giants in order to kind of keep the ball, keep the offense for the Giants, from doing too much, control the clock. And, they can spell Alvin Kamara next week or, the week after when Ingram comes back, he'll get his rest then. So I think they use him this week. I like Carlos Hyde because with Mayfield playing quarterback, they should lean on Hyde, and he's hot right now, and I'll play him. So I got Rivers, Hyde, Kamara, or Eckler at running back. Mike Williams at wide receiver. I like Chris Godwin over in Tampa Bay. Tyler Boyd, especially if AJ Green goes out this week. You can also put Michael Thomas in there because, he hasn't stopped yet, and he's got the most receptions through first three games ever. So, he is really expensive, but he could be worth it. And you need some kind of stud out there at wide receiver. You can really put Boyd, Godwin, and Mike Williams all out there and expect to, win anything. George Kittle at tight end because, hey, new quarterback in San Francisco, and so they're going to rely on their safety valve. So I'll go with Kittle there. I like David Johnson in my flex. You can also look at guys like, Albert Wilson or somebody, something like that. Maybe a receiver over in Miami, maybe like Nelson Aguilar over in Philly against Tennessee as your flex plays. And then I got the Chargers defense, and that's the defense to have, man. The Packers look like they could have a strong matchup against Allen, especially Allen going into Lambeau. On a field surface, that's going to be a little more difficult for him to just scramble all over the place and hurdle everyone. But the Chargers are just the much stronger play, playing that inexperienced new quarterback there. So those are the fantasy plays, man. Those are the game picks. And what else we got? It's kind of a short episode this week. I got a bunch of stuff going on. Dude, my roof is still wide open. It's like snowing. It's going to snow anytime here where I'm at, up here in the great white north. Yeah, I don't know. That's about it. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, and get after it on Twitter at MonsterPiff. And upside down week, up to upside down world, man. Tons of records being broken. Yeah, I guess until next week, episode 37. See you then. Out.